It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Reverend Brad Payne, assistant principal of Bob Jones Elementary School. The title of his message is, How We Praise God. The text is from Psalm 145, verse 3.
It's exciting to be here with you this morning. I look forward to these opportunities, even if they do cause me a certain amount of anxiety, but I still look forward to it. It's exciting to come and to have the privilege and honor of speaking to you all this morning. Hope that your summer school is off to a great start. I know you Academy students, this is just your third day. One of the joys that's mine at the elementary school is getting to preach in elementary school chapel. I look forward to it. It's just an encouragement to my heart. You all are a little different than the audience I normally face. First and second graders, and sometimes the fifth and sixth graders. But one of the things I try to do at the elementary school is we have classes who present chapel programs, and then I follow up those programs, try to carry on whatever the theme of that program was. And one of the programs near the end of this year that really arrested my attention was a program on the topic of praise. And I began looking into the book of Psalms at the idea of praising God. And it's still something that every once in a while I find myself going back to. It's interesting that if you do just a quick little search in the book of Psalms, you'll find that the English word praise occurs 160 times in the book of Psalms in 132 different verses. And in spite of what some of you may think, I don't intend to read all 132 of those this morning. But it's interesting that there are six different Hebrew words that are all translated praise. Each one brings something different to that idea. Most of them have something to do with the idea of how we exalt or how we call attention, show off, so to speak, our God. That we want to hold Him up and we want to say, everybody, look at my God. Look at who He is. And they carry with them also the idea of thanksgiving, of giving thanks for our God. But this morning, I really don't want to look at the idea of what it means to praise God. It's also interesting, as you read through all 132 of those verses, you find over and over so many reasons why we should praise God. Not the least of which is many of those are stated as commands that we are to praise our God. But again, this morning, I not really want to look at why we should praise God. This morning, I'd like you to open your Bibles to start with the 145th Psalm, Psalm 145. This morning, this came to me from this past weekend, actually in preparation for a Sunday school lesson. Psalm 145, verse 3. God impressed this verse upon my heart. It says, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. And as I just meditated on that verse and the Lord began to speak to my heart through this verse, I began to think about how do we praise God. That's really what I want to look at this morning, is a couple, three ideas under this heading of how we praise God. And again, each one of these is by no means going to be any way an exhaustive type study. It's just hopefully something to whet your appetite on this topic of praising our God. First thing I want us to look at in this verse, Psalm 145, Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, is that we should praise our God with great praise. In addition to this verse, consider these, Psalm 48, verse 1, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Psalm 96, verse 4, For the Lord is great, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Psalm 109, verse 30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth, yea, I will praise Him among the multitude. Our God is a great God, and our praise should accurately reflect the greatness of our God. When you think about this word greatly, these verses all talk about greatly praising God. It's a word that communicates an intensity. It's translated elsewhere very, very something, or it's translated exceeding or exceedingly, or it's translated mightily or holy. And as you think about praising God mightily, holy, exceedingly, it suggests the ideas of quantity and quality. Because when you think of God being great, He is great in His quantity, in the vastness, in the expanse of our God, in His quality. and who He is, what He's like. And our praise ought to reflect that. Think about the quantity. How often are we engaged in really praising God? It ought to be something that we're doing all the time. How we live ought to be a life that praises God, that points people to Him, that shows off who He is and what He is doing in our lives. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 35, verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalm 71, verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Psalm 119, verse 164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Psalm 145, verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Again, how often are we actively involved in really praising our God? How great is God to you? And what do you mean when you say that something is great? Do you ever stop to think how many different ways you use the word great? You finish a meal and say, oh, Mom, that was a great meal. What do you mean by that? You come out of the gym or out of a stadium and you say, wow, that was a great game. What do you mean by that? You walk out of class and you say, wow, that was a great class. You don't ever say that, right? I hope you do. But what do you mean by that? What do you mean when you use this word great in so many ways? Say, oh, he's a great friend. Well, what does that mean to say that he's a great friend? When you stop and think about all the different ways you use that word great and what do you mean by that, really, all of those apply to God. He is great in just about any way that you can think of that word great. And our praise of Him ought to reflect that greatness. He's a great God. It ought to be evident in how often, how much we speak of Him. It ought to just come forth from us at all times, because as we think about how great God is, and that this great God is my God, I cannot help but speak of Him. And yet sometimes it seems as though we don't speak of Him unless we're forced to. How many times have you been at a religious service, maybe a Wednesday night prayer meeting or a Sunday night service, and the pastor says, okay, let's have a testimony time. Somebody want to stand up and say what God's doing at work in your life. And then there's that really awkward silence. Well, everybody kind of looks around like, well, who's going to go first? Is God really great? Is He really great to you personally? Is He not at work in your life doing great things? The psalmist said, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Is that true? Why is it sometimes we seem so hesitant to speak of the greatness of our God? And the quantity, what we put into the praise. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth thy marvelous works. Psalm 86, verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Repeatedly here in these verses, Psalm 138, 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. It's wholehearted praise. You're throwing yourself into it with all that you are and all that you have. Why? Because you have a great God who deserves nothing less than your best. I taught at the junior high school for 22 years. And one of the things that I still remember was back in the early days when the junior high used to have chapel in the SAS assembly room. And I got called upon to lead a song around. And I didn't really know the song. And so I really was not happy about being summoned to do this, and I didn't really know the song, and I just kind of gave half-hearted effort to it. I really, my heart wasn't in it, I'll admit. The chapel speaker that day happened to be Dr. Fremont. First thing he did when he got up in the pulpit was to rebuke me for how I led the song. That really stuck with me. He was kind, he was gentle, but he was clear. And he made the point. And the point is, you're doing this as an act of praise to God. You're doing this as an act of worship to God. How dare you do it half-heartedly? Throw yourself into it, man. If it's worth doing, then do it. And how true that is. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, in Ecclesiastes, do with all thy might. book of Colossians says that what we do for the Lord, we ought to do wholeheartedly. 1 Corinthians says that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we ought to do to the glory of God. And I guarantee you, doing something half-heartedly doesn't bring any glory to God. Our praise ought to be wholehearted. You ever stop to think, what does our singing, what do our testimonies, what does the way we live our lives, what do our conversations about God reflect of His greatness? You know, really, in many ways, and I'm guilty of this myself, I know, if our sports team, and I don't know which particular team you follow, but if your sports team wins some championship, Super Bowl or the World Series or the NCAA championship in some sport, and it's a great national championship game, you know, it's interesting. The next day, boy, you sit down with your friends and you talk about the game and you're going over every key play and you're doing so with passion and you can recall every precise detail. And yet we don't see that same passion when we talk about our God. But the psalmist says our God is great and He is greatly to be praised. There ought to be some passion. There ought to be some vehemence. There ought to be some intensity in our praise. When the Ark of the Covenant came back into Jerusalem, David played before the Ark and he played with all of his might. He was excited. He was passionate about his God. How sad it is that this element of intensity in our praise to God is so sadly missing. And unfortunately, I think people recognize something is missing in our praise and they substitute other things which are not appropriate. The sad thing is, what's really missing is a heartfelt passion for God and an excitement, an exuberance. It's like taking that bottle of carbonated beverage and just shaking it up. There's excitement in there. It's going to come out. We don't have any excitement about the greatness, the awesomeness of our God. And it doesn't come out. Second thing, if you'll turn back to the ninth psalm, please, Psalm 9. We should praise our God with glad praise. Psalm 9, if you'll look with me, please, at the second verse. Psalm 9, verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. Consider also Psalm 63, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. Psalm 98, verse 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Our God is good. We have a good God. Our praise should accurately reflect the goodness of our God. All that our God does is good. And His goodness should fill our hearts with joy, and that joy should be evident in our praise. Is our praise to God glad praise? Speaks to me of our desire and our delight. Do we have a desire to praise God? Psalm 27, verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 43, verse 4, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God my God. You know, sometimes it almost appears as though our praise to God is forced, coerced, if you will, or it just comes out of a sense of duty. There's not the joy that ought to be there. When you read in the Psalms, you read where the psalmist says, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of our God. He was glad when it came time to praise God. He looked forward to such opportunities for worship and praise. The question is, do we? Is there any gladness in our heart? Does your praise to God just naturally flow from a heart that is overjoyed with the goodness of God? We should have a delight in praising God. We of all people who have tasted and seen that God is good. We have experienced the saving grace. We have graciously been granted the privilege of being called the sons of God. And as such, we become joint heirs with Christ Himself. We of all people ought to be glad-hearted and joyful people. Now, I realize, you know, personalities are different. Everybody's different. And you know, I realize that most of us, hopefully, you know, we don't live so self-conscious that we're always worried about our facial expression. And I also realize that not everybody's a Pollyanna. And the few Pollyannas in the world drive the rest of us nuts. Every day is a wonderful day. Yes, it is. Go away. Yeah, I realize that you know, we all just don't wake up perky. Some of us are doing well to wake up, perky or otherwise. But, you know, when it comes to singing praise to our God, when it comes to speaking of our God, when it comes to seeking to give testimony to God with how we live our lives, it ought to be evident to those who see and hear us that we delight in our God. And we joy and we delight in the opportunities that are ours to praise Him. That ought to be evident. I lead singing in a little country church in Georgia. I lead singing in the elementary school chapel. And as a song leader, I'm sure the brother here could testify, one of the interesting things as a song leader is you look out at people's expressions while they're singing. You know, we sing songs like, you know, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Or we sing Rejoice in the Lord. Or we sing, what's the other one? Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Like, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. And you're up here leading the song and you look out at people and, wow, you just really look like it's wonderful. Let me tell you, if it were any more wonderful, boy, you'd just burst, wouldn't you? Whoopee! Yeah, it's kind of sad. But if you stop and think for a minute, if the unregenerate were in our midst and they were to judge how great is your God to you and how good is your God to you by the enthusiasm, by the passion with which you sing and by the joy that is evident in your song, how convinced would they be? You know, we sing of these things, but are they really true in our hearts? When you sing of the joy of God, when you sing of being glad in the Lord, is that true in your heart and is it evident in how you sing? You say, well, it would be, except I can't sing. That doesn't matter. We're not talking here now about your vocal ability. We're talking here about the condition of your heart. There's a world difference. Lastly, we should praise our God with a glorious praise. If you would, turn over to the 66th Psalm. Psalm 66, please. Once again, if you would join me at the second verse. Psalm 66 and verse 2. It says, sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Make His praise glorious. Throughout the book of Psalms, you will see words such as glory, honor, and majesty ascribed to God. And when you look up the meanings of those words, you find out that they include ideas such as being exalted, being magnificent, being splendid, being ornate, beautiful, majestic, excellent, worthy. All of these ideas are in these words. Our God is a glorious God. And our praise should properly reflect the glory of our God. The question is, does it? To me, this speaks of accuracy and appropriateness. Our praise of our God ought to declare who He is and ought to do so accurately. Psalm 7, verse 17, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 21, verse 13, be Thou exalted, Lord, in Thine own strength. So will we sing and praise Thy power. Psalm 48, verse 10, according to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Psalm 99, verse 3, let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. Psalm 106, verse 2, who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all His praise? Our God is truly an awesome God. Unfortunately, that word has been so used and misused, it has lost its significance. But our God is truly an awesome God. And we ought to be concerned that our praise of Him not give to anyone any impression that He is anything other than who He is. I'm afraid sometimes what we offer as praise to God reflects upon Him poorly. It does not show Him to be who He really is. Our praise of God ought to tell of His excellent greatness. It ought to speak of His righteousness, His holiness, His sovereignty, His love, His mercy, and so many other qualities that are true of God. But in order for our praise to be glorious, to accurately reflect the majesty, the excellence of our God, we've got to know who our God really is. And there's no reason we shouldn't. God has given us His Word to reveal Himself. He has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. It's just a question of, are we willing to search the Scriptures? Are we willing to do as Proverbs chapter 2 says, that we search for Him as for hidden treasure. We cry out after Him. We do those things that are listed in those first six verses of Proverbs chapter 2. And it says, then you will find the knowledge of God. In order for our praise to accurately reflect who our God really is, we have to know who our God really is. And I'm afraid sometimes what happens is there are people who just make assumptions about God. They make assumptions that God is like this. You say, well, why do you believe that? Well, because I'm like that and I think God's kind of like me, so therefore God's like that. And then they build a whole theology, so to speak, of praise around a misconception of God, because they really haven't gotten into the Scriptures to find out, who is God? What is He really like? My praise of Him ought to reflect who He really is. And I ought to be careful and I ought to be concerned that I don't give anybody a wrong impression about my God. Because my God is the great and terrible God. He's an awesome God. And it concerns me that when I praise Him, that that praise accurately reflects Him. And it ought to be appropriately glorious. Psalm 22, verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him, and fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. Psalm 68, verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name Yah, and rejoice before Him. Psalm 148, verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. When I understand that this is true of my God, that His name alone is excellent, that His glory is above the earth and the heaven, then I ought to want my praise of Him to reflect that, to reveal that, to demonstrate that I know that is true of Him. There are businesses in America today that have slogans referring to something to the effect of the relentless or the passionate pursuit of excellence. This ought to be true of our praise of our God. It ought to be the result of a passionate pursuit of things that are excellent. If we keep in mind the majesty, the splendor, the magnificence of our God, then we should desire that our praise be appropriate, that it does all that we are humanly capable of doing to do justice to the glory of our God. And I'm afraid sometimes what we offer as praise to God is rather trite. It's rather meaningless. It's rather insignificant. And it doesn't accurately say the message that it ought to say, that our God is glorious. We must never forget. Worship is not about us. Praise is not about us. It's about God. It's to be directed toward Him. And we must know who He is and praise Him appropriately. We are praising the High King of Heaven. We are praising the One who sits upon the throne of His heaven and does whatsoever He pleases. And I've shared with my students many times, it's a thought that just constantly overwhelms me, that God does what He pleases and all that He does pleases Him. And that's such an amazing statement, because I do so little that pleases me. I look at what I do sometimes and think, I could have done that better. God does whatever He pleases, and all that He does pleases Him. And my praise ought to reflect that this is the kind of God that I have. Our God is great. Our God is good. Our God is glorious. And hence our praise of Him ought to reflect that. It should be great praise. It should be glad praise. It should be glorious praise. The challenge for us is to think of what we do in our praise to God, our singing, our giving testimonies, our daily lives, our activities in a concert hall or on an athletic field, even in our devotional time. View these things as acts of praise and worship and seek to make them great, passionate, intense, glad-hearted, and reflecting the glory of our God. It's interesting, the book of Psalms ends the 150th Psalm. There are six verses. The word praise occurs 13 times in those six verses. And the last verse of the last Psalm says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise God with your life and make it a great praise, a glad praise, a glorious praise.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Brad Payne, assistant principal of Bob Jones Elementary School. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.